Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hello and welcome to Beauty Inside Out. I'm your host, Kimberly Snyder, nutritionist, wellness expert, and author. This is our very special Thursday Q&A segment where I love to hear what you guys are thinking and I answer your questions every single week. So here we go with this week's questions. Hey beauties, welcome back. Happy Thursday. Happy August. I hope you're having a wonderful week so far. I am super excited to dive in today, specifically talking about breaking through old habits and fears. So that's our theme today. I get a lot of questions from you guys around this topic, and I'm super excited to discuss this with you. But before we dive in, I just want to give a quick little shout out. If you haven't yet left a review for us on iTunes, please take a few moments to do so. It's such a great way to spread the love, to support the podcast. And we appreciate it so, so much. And another way you can also spread the love is to just take a screenshot on your iPhone of the podcast now so it's easy to find and you can send it to friends and family and even post it on your IG story or Facebook or Snapchat, wherever you are. So thank you so much in advance. And now we're ready to dive in. We have our amazing Caitlin out with us, or out in New York, who's here with us today. Hey, Kay.
Hey, beauties. And hey, Kimberly. Great to be back this week. Excited for our topic.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Habits and fears, old habits and fears, things that plague us. This is something you and I have talked about a lot together. Personally, we've also talked about it on the podcast. We all have fears. We all have habits we want to break through. And when we start to do that, which we'll talk about in just a moment, we just reach more higher and higher levels of freedom and expansion. And it just changes our whole world because old habits, like anything that we feel addicted to or controlled by, just weighs us down so much.
I agree. Yeah, this is something we have talked about quite often. And I've been really excited now that we've made the Thursday shows topical. So I thought this was timely. And there was a bunch of questions coming in on our Facebook group and through Instagram and on our collector that we do on the website, KimberlySnyder.com/AskKimberly. That's where you guys put your questions in. Well, let's hear the first one. And it's from Maggie. And Maggie's based out of Seattle, Washington. And she says, I find myself being socially anxious in large crowds. How can I get over this fear that has been haunting me since I was a kid?
So Maggie, thank you so much for your question. Now, I'll say I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a trained psychotherapist or anything like that. Little disclaimer here. You know, so if you feel like this is something that's really a huge problem, then of course we recommend going to talk to someone professionally. But that being said, I'll give my thoughts around this topic, especially because I, too, in the past have experienced not liking crowds and feeling anxiety for sure, and just feeling kind of trapped. And so that's one of the reasons that over the years, I've gone to a few music festivals, but I don't really go to a lot of big festivals and things just because the large crowds kind of stress me out. And so I think it's one thing, like, just tuning into our preference. Some of us are more introverted and some of us are more extroverted. And there's times where we are going to be in those situations and we want to deal as best we can. But first, I just want to say that it's okay to acknowledge that not everybody likes being in big crowds. Some of us like being more one-on-one or in small groups or just hanging out with a small group of friends. And so I wouldn't, you know, feel like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with you because you don't seek out big crowds. I think that's just a natural preference. And so I will say, though, sometimes we have to be in large crowds and it can feel overwhelming. So here's where breathing and feeling grounded can really, really help. You know, I sometimes go really high up, okay, in my meditations, and then I start to feel floaty. And if I'm around a lot of people, I get anxious. So for me, I do a daily grounding exercise where, it can happen very quickly. You can incorporate it into your morning practice while you're meditating or even drinking your hot water with lemon. If you just close your eyes and you imagine from the base of your spine, or your seat, like just down from your body, almost like roots going down, down, down into the earth. for me, I imagine it in a more natural way, like it's almost roots of a really strong tree, and they go all the way down and they sort of wrap around down there, and they ground me in. So I feel really supported by the earth, and I feel rooted no matter where I go or how many people I'm around or all their different energies. Because I think, Maggie, another reason you're asking this, you may be really energetically sensitive. You may be very empathic. So mm-hmm. if you feel really grounded, you're going to feel less thrown off by all the people around. So just close your eyes, especially before you go into a big crowd, and just remind yourself you're always supported by the earth. You're always held. And then the other thing is just staying really present with your breath as often as you need to. We know that when we get stressed or anxious, our breath starts to speed up. And this applies whether it's a crowded situation or going into talking to your boss or in-laws or anyone that really stresses you out. And just try to really breathe fully and make sure that you're, you know, having nice long exhales as well as inhales. And your breath can also help calm you in these situations. But the grounding part for me was, you know, I've always done breathing, but the grounding part was really missing until actually sort of recently when I started just getting really up there in my meditations. And sometimes I'd be with people and a bunch of people, and I would, that anxiety from my childhood would creep back in. And then a friend of mine said, well, are you grounding every day? And I was like, no, I'm not. And so now that I'm doing that and just really imagining my roots are, you know, I'm in the earth, I am here where I am, I'm okay. That's really helped me.
I remember when I first moved to New York City, it was so overwhelming coming from the suburbs.
Yes.
And all those people, and I would know that like anxiety would like shoot up in my chest, and I'd get like sweaty and my heart would race. And not knowing any of these skills that you've just talked about back then was so difficult. But now I go in the city and things don't affect me as much, because when you have your little toolkit, like you just explain.
Well, what do you do, Kay? What's in your toolkit?
I kind of imagine like when I'm going down the escalator, like everything freezes, and like I don't consciously think like, I guess, oh, I'm breathing, but I'll just kind of try to slow everything down in my mind where I'm like, it's okay. Or if there's like a lot of people and they're shoving, like I just try to go like be slower so I don't like get affected by all the speed, and like, it's okay. Like they need to go. Like I don't get like offended when they bump me or whatever. Like just, I guess, being in peace with like my own little bubble. But yeah, I always like just envision that like a little screenshot, like everything stops so I can like see where to go through, like the kind of like the Matrix. But yeah, I guess everybody has their little tips and comforts that they find, but it's, I guess, just being aware, like Maggie's asking, like it's when you have the toolkit. I went to a therapist once, and she would say, oh, you know what, you have to have your little toolkit, things you can pull from, and that this conversation reminds me of that.
Yes, exactly. The breathing, the grounding, or any version of that, I think, where we don't feel so caught and swayed by what's happening around, is always going to feel good in a crowd, because there's so much energy and there's so many different kinds of people. And everybody has an energy. Everybody has a resonance. And it's not always completely positive.
Oh, yeah.
But if we're grounded and we're held, then we're going to feel less susceptible to all of that. You know, so cool.
I agree.
But great question, Maggie. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
I hope this helps you, and please keep in touch with us.
So our next question is going to be from Karen, and she lives in Brooklyn in New York. And she says, I've always had bad communication since I was a child. How can I practice opening up more and expressing my true feelings with my partner?
Karen, thank you so much for your question. This is something that I think we all struggle with deep down. So many of us have this core belief that I'm not worthy, or I'm not good enough, and if people really see me, then they're not going to love me, or, you know, something along those lines. And actually, this is something that's been part of my journey. I think all of our journey, but just really, really recently, actually. And, you know, I just started to really crack open when my mom passed away last year. And I realized that she was so strong, and I always felt like I had to be strong too. And I just kind of started cracking and falling apart and being really vulnerable when she got sick. And she started really opening up to me, and she said things to me in the last weeks that she had never said. And I realized that my mom had never really allowed herself to be vulnerable in this lifetime. And I could see the shift and the change in her and the softness and how connected we were. I miss my mom so much and all this, you know, just this peace and this healing, which is still going on. But I will say there was a lot of healing around that experience for me and realizing that actually when we let ourselves be seen and we become softer instead of feeling like we have this armor that we have to put up all the time to protect ourselves and to put out this image of who we are, when we really soften, we actually really strengthen connection. Because when we are open, then we can go soul to soul with someone and we're connecting on a much, you know, speaking of our analogy from the last question, the roots, we're rooting in with someone, we're connecting on a deeper level than just on the surface. And I know it takes a lot of trust. It can be really scary to practice opening up in that way to your partner. So I can say that maybe you can practice opening up just around you to certain friends and you know, just, I'm in these women's circles here, and I know sometimes it's easier to start opening up more and more to friends than it is to your partner, and I totally get that. But yeah. Opening up to friends for me has helped me open up more in general. So I would say you can start with friends. If there's one friend that you really feel, you know, open with, you can talk to her about this idea of vulnerability. And there's a book about communication, which you were asking about, that I think is really helpful. It's called Nonviolent Communication. And it's by Malcolm. Oh my gosh, I'm going to space on his name. Hold on, let me just think about it.
I have this one too. I can't remember his name either. It's killing me.
Yeah, it's, you know, I'll think of it in a second. It's a really great book because it is about effective communication. Oh, it's Marshall Rosenberg. And I think I recommended it to you, Kay. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that's why I'm like, oh, it's killing me. I can't remember the name, but we can link to it in the show notes today,
we'll
guys.
Yes, we'll link to it in the show notes because none of us grew up, you know, or most of us didn't grow up with perfect communication. We kind of learn how to make our way in the world, and most of our parents don't have great communication. So this is a great way to really listen and to share your feelings and to feel safe and to kind of have this exchange, but stay in your power. So I really recommend that book, Karen. And also, like I said, just you know, going back to really knowing that you are really beautiful and amazing as you are, and it's okay to let people see you. This is a lifelong journey. I'm still very much on that journey to learn to love myself and to heal and to tap into that. But for me, meditation and affirmations, you know, we have free meditations we can also link to in the show notes, and just spending that time in stillness and spending time with who we really are, which is beyond what we look like, beyond the number on the scale, beyond whether we're eating perfectly or not, beyond what we're doing in our career, or if we have a perfectly organized home or not, beyond all that stuff is our essence. And when we can just spend more time with our essence, I really feel that confidence builds, because that is where we know who we are, and we're okay to show more of that, and we feel less controlled by all this outside stuff that changes all the time, like our weight or, you know, whatever. All this outside stuff is always going to shift. But if our confidence comes more from our essence, then that's really how that starts to grow, and it builds over time. And again, it's a journey to get there, but it does strengthen. I know that from personal experience.
Yeah, I agree. They always say communication is the key to success, but I kind of feel like awareness is the key to communication. So just bringing this up, being aware that you want to communicate better, definitely helps in every area. And just, it's something, as Kimberly mentioned, that it just takes time. So I think we all can relate to
Thank
that
you,
for
Kay.
Sure.
That's great. Awareness, exactly.
Yeah, the awareness. I always think of that when I read all the questions that come in. I'm spending time this week sifting through everything, and just the fact that everybody's aware to even ask the question is huge.
It's amazing. And, you know, Karen, just asking this question and, you know, awareness and wanting to go deeper is such a huge part of the process already. And so it's just like letting yourself be seen, spending time with yourself, learning some communication skills, but the awareness, like Caitlin said, is there. And so to me, you've already started the process of cracking open. So it's just a matter of time. You know, we're on these journeys. We don't know how quickly the healing really happens. But yeah, I mean, it's just this beautiful journey, and just to be where you are and to honor that and to know that we're all in this process and it keeps going and it just keeps getting deeper and deeper.
Beautiful. With that, we'll let Kimberly take a short break here, and then she'll be back to answer the last two questions.
My life has gotten extremely busy in the last few years, balancing my career and being a mother. So when it comes to beauty product routines, the first step in any routine is just finding time for it. Let's be real. Having a time-consuming makeup routine isn't possible every day, at least not for me. I personally don't wear a lot of makeup, and I've always felt like beauty products should give you maximum impact with minimum effort. So I just discovered a beauty brand that finally gets that, Wander Beauty. Wander Beauty is a new line of easy-to-use, multitasking beauty products that help you make the most of your beauty routine, no matter how little time you have. You can get ready in 5 minutes and stay gorgeous on the go. I love how easy their double-sided products work, like the On the Glow Bronzer and Illuminator Stick. Founded by a working mother of two and a supermodel, Wander Beauty streamlines your beauty routine with fewer products that work better. All Wander Beauty products are clean, cruelty-free products made with ingredients your skin will love. Wander Beauty is for everyone, not just beauty junkies, and has already received a ton of accolades, including Allure's Best of Beauty Award. It's time to make your morning with Wander Beauty. Get 20% off your purchase at wanderbeauty.com/beauty. That's wanderbeauty.com/beauty for 20% off. wanderbeauty.com/beauty. All right, beauties, we are back from our break, and we have two more questions for you guys on the topics of breaking through old habits and fears. I love this topic.
Yes. And the first question here back from the break is from Stacy, and she's based out of Toronto, Canada. And she asks, even though I haven't eaten dairy for years, I still want to eat cheese. How do I get over the desire for these old foods?
So Stacy, thank you for asking this question. We'll, you know, bring it back to relating this topic to food, because it really relates to all the areas of our life. It can relate to relationships. It can relate to our relationship with food, which is reflective of other parts of our life. It relates to our, you know, relationships with other people and our sleep habits, so on and so forth. But as it relates here, Stacy, to your question about dairy, there's a lot of reasons that we hold on to feelings for certain foods. This is something I talked about a lot in my third book, The Beauty Detox Power. And that was a couple years ago. And the more I go on, the more, you know, I just think it's a very, very complex issue. With cheese specifically, we know there's casomorphins and there's ways that that food interacts with our bodies, in particular, that has an addictive quality. It makes us, it shifts our mood. It makes us actually feel something in our brain. And there's this funny little cartoon part of the wonderful documentary called What the Health? Thank you. Thank you, Brain, for coming up with that again. There's this really funny part where they're talking about cheese and how addictive it is. And they do this little cartoon kind of how it goes up into your brain. So I will say, you know, just to be gentle with yourself, I know it's been a few years, but especially if cheese was a big part of your childhood or you ate it for a long time, it still tastes good to us, or we may go back to that feeling of familiarity and also mood changing properties. So I will say to just really explore the cheese substitutes, the plant-based cheese substitutes, which is something that I have as part of my life all the time now. I really love the Kite Hill, not only the cream cheese, but I just discovered their cheese wheel. So it's like a cheese that you can cut. Oh my gosh, it's so good. And I do believe that they're international. So I think they are in Toronto by now. There's also some other brands popping up as well that are really, really great and taste well. And they're made in the same traditional process that regular cheese is made with the curds and the machinery and all that kinds of stuff. So you can get something close to that soothing quality that cheese gives us and the texture and the taste, and hopefully that will help you. I also think that when something kind of pops up, I know for me, if I'm like, oh gosh, those crunchy cravings are popping up again, it's time for me to sit down and journal. And I start to look at what is going on. I know for me lately, I've had so many deadlines. Kay, we were talking about this before the podcast. Today, I had to decide all the copy for the next book, the subtitle, the pages in the book that we were playing with that had to be finalized. We were working with a label for our new probiotic. I mean, there were so many decisions coming at me today.
Yeah.
I felt like I was hit with a ton of bricks. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, where are the chips? You know, for a moment, there's like, oh, I'm like in the kitchen kind of scrounging around. And so it's just important to realize that, you know, cravings and food is not just it's not just our body, the physical part, but there's the emotional part and the, you know, how we're trying to shift our mood. So for me, it's like a way to outlet the stress. And so I just take time out and I say, hey, you know, just give me 5 minutes. And I literally go write in my journal, or I take a quick walk, or I get down on my hands and knees and I just completely immerse in playing with trucks with Bubby.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something that kind of just like is this, you know, just releases that stress. And that to me is really an important part of getting past food cravings. Because there's such this emotional part. And if we, again, back to awareness, if we create awareness and we become really reflective and we journal about it and just notice what's going on in our life when the cravings come back, I think that's a really powerful way to get past them once and for all. So for me, the crunchy cravings still come in, not too crazy, but they are there. And I have great alternatives like kale chips around. But the cheese cravings, after all this time, it took me years, but I can honestly say, through this process and really working with the emotional and spiritual part as well, I have gotten past them. But again, I have tons of cheese alternatives, so that's also helpful too.
Yeah, having those options. I found for me, it's more like the nostalgia or how I think I'm going to feel or how I felt eating that food in the past. And then if I've ever gone back and ate something and then I feel sick and I go, oh, it doesn't make me feel like that anymore. So it almost creates the negative for me where I'm like, oh, like if I ever really wanted something and I let myself have it, then I always come back to, oh, it was just a memory. You know, I like the idea of what I thought it was going to feel like or how it made me feel in the past. So I agree. It's definitely more emotion-based than, oh, I really love the way that tastes.
Exactly. Tuning in.
And with that, we can roll into June's question. And June's from San Diego in California, because it also goes with this topic. And she asks, how do I stop late night snacking in the summer as the days are so much longer and I'm staying up later?
Great question, June. Thank you so much. I think this is a really great practical question around eating. And I wouldn't necessarily say that this is an old habit if you are truly going with your body and you feel like your activity levels have increased. Maybe after work, you're going and playing frisbee or you're running around the park or you're just doing more activities. Your body may naturally just need a little bit more fuel. But if it's like, oh, I'm just up and so I get bored and I'm eating late night, then that is a habit. So first I would just say if it's it's the first one where, you know, you're just doing more in the evening, then I would say, okay, well, you're up later. So maybe you do need some extra snacks and I would just keep them really, really properly food combined for the evening. So that's going to fall into three categories that I can, you know, think of that I want to offer to you right now. The first is going to be smoothies, because they're easily digestible and all the ones on KimberlyCenter.com are properly food combined. So if you feel like you need something nourishing, a smoothie, especially now that it's August and it's hot, is a good option. Number two, the opposite end, which is where I go a lot, is actually soup. So it also is easily digestible, and I'm someone that can have hot food all year round. And so that's something, if I always have soup in my house and I'll just eat a bowl of soup in the evening if I'm hungry, because it's really hard for me to go to bed hungry. So if I eat pretty early and then I'm up for hours and hours, I will need something. And soup is often a really great option because, again, it's going to digest well and it doesn't make me feel heavy. The third option is veggie-based. So something like veggie sticks and hummus or veggie sticks and salsa, something like that, which is crunchy, fiber-filled, is going to give you some, it's going to make you feel satisfied, but it's not going to be overly heavy. There's not a ton of concentrated fat and protein in it. Those are great options. But again, I would just create awareness around if you're truly hungry or if you're just bored. And if you're just bored and it's evening time and you want to put something in your mouth and you know, just something to really, I didn't mean that in a gross way. You want to eat something, I mean, then you could try something like also making an elixir or like one of our sleep elixirs with almond milk or hemp milk. That can also curb snacking because it's going to feel grounding to have a hot, milky, non-dairy drink in your system.
I love the elixirs for me personally. Everybody has their go-to thing at night. But yeah, I think those are great suggestions and tips. A lot of people struggle with this as schedules change and they're out of their rhythm for whatever reason with the different seasons. It's always good to have those resources. So as Kimberly mentioned, guys, there's so many resources over on KimberlyCenter.com. The recipes, that's also where you can go to submit your question or your topic. I mentioned it at the beginning of the show, but I'll just say it again quickly. KimberlyCenter.com/AskKimberly. So that's where you guys can go to and submit your question. So we can hopefully air it on an upcoming show. But just before we let Kimberly go, because we are going to have to wrap up, we would love to hear if you did have a thought of the week for us.
So yes, I do have a thought of the week, Kay, and it is very much related to what we were speaking about earlier in our discussion together. So here it is. Big life changes can crack open our heart and unleash higher levels of growth and love if we open up to it. Oh, big life changes. So I was talking about my mom passing very, very suddenly. And then that's a huge, huge change. Change is just the way things go. It's like the way that the hands on the clock are always moving. We talked about this with the Kelsey Patel podcast. I like her analogy. You know, the clock isn't sitting still. And when we look at the moon or the sun in the sky, it's constantly changing position. But for some reason, we cling and we want to hold on to things. We want to almost keep them as they are. And when we do that, we keep ourselves from opening up to all this new energy that can come in because we're not accepting, we're not surrendering to what is, we're just surrendering to what we want it to be. And that's a really, really big difference. So for me, it's so scary to surrender, but that's what I had to do when my mom passed away. And when I did, it was very painful, but then I feel like it processed through in a way that felt pretty healthy to me. Mm. It wasn't like I was immobile or, you know, just dealing with inconsolable grief for months and months and months. I kind of just let it process through, and it has been one of the biggest heart-opening, defining moments of my life. So for many of us, I mean, change happens in such different ways. It can be your pet passing, or maybe you have to change apartments, or maybe some aspect of your job changed, or, you know, whatever, something with a friend. But just, I would say to just really let it go into your heart and sit with it and don't resist and see what comes up for you and don't judge it as good or bad. Because I remember when I just judged, oh God, this sucks. I'm so mad. Why is my mom being taken away? Bobby's not even a year old. This is so unfair. He's not going to have his grandmother. I mean, if you get into your thoughts, it just goes around and around. But when I sat with it, I mean, my heart, Kay, was so raw and open. And wow, I started looking at myself. I started looking at other people. I started realizing how clingy I was to outcome and expectation. I started really healing this perfectionist part of myself. I started healing this judgment part of myself where I was so judging of myself and then on some level judging of other people. And this big healing came from it. So I would just say that anytime something comes and you feel that resistance coming in, like, oh, I don't want such and such to move away, or I don't want such and such to get sick or this, just be open, because I think that these are opportunities for amazing, amazing healing to happen. and it's scary and it's hard and it's something that, you know, we don't always want, but the openness is what creates the healing, and it just lets that energy come in. And sometimes we, you know, we don't know everything, and so we just have to be open and let that come in, because then we're opening to the whole, we're opening to the, you know, to the bigger intelligence, the bigger energy, versus our small understanding, which is always going to keep us in pain and suffering.
Beautifully said. I always love ending the show this way, and us having a nice closing to just reflect on everything we've talked about and have intention heading into the weekend. So thank you so much for sharing that beautiful story with us, Kimberly.
Yes, you're welcome, Kay. And I, you know, I say this really from being in awe and so much wonder around how much healing happened. It's not a downer. I don't really see it that way. I think it's you know, something I want to share, because I think it's possible for all of us to kind of move past these challenges and into greater love and awareness and joy, which is what I really want for you. And I'm so grateful that we have this time together every week to connect. And I feel that, and I love, you know, whether you submit the questions or not, the fact that we're here together and you're listening means there's, you know, some kind of energetic pull. We were meant to be together to support each other on this path. And again, I'm so grateful. I love you so much. We are here to love and support each other. And that is, to me, what life is about. So I look forward to seeing you on Monday. We have our next interview on Monday. Take great care of yourself. Remember, you are stronger than you could ever realize. And all these habits and fears do not need to be part of your life. You can just create more awareness, more journaling, thinking through. And if they come up, as they will, you know, from time to time, and it just takes a while to process through, also be gentle with yourself and kind and compassionate, and realize that none of us are perfect. We're all on journey and it's all okay. You know, just awareness is key, and love and kindness. And that's way infinitely more important than being perfect. And that's where the healing comes in. Let that softness come in. So sending you so much love again. And again, if you haven't yet left us a review, please take a moment to do so. It's a huge way to support the podcast. So thank you again, and have a wonderful weekend. We will see you back here on Monday. Take care.